A Change for the Better, written by Susan Hill and read by Maggie Ullerenshaw.
Chapter 1. "Why, today is the 22nd of November," said Mrs. Deirdre Fount to her mother, Mrs. Winifred Odicott, as they passed by the Prince of Wales Hotel. "Now you surely cannot have forgotten what happens today." Mrs. Winifred Odicott lowered her head against the east wind, but said nothing. "Today the carpenters return home. How exciting, and what a lot they will have to tell us all. I am sure I can scarcely wait." "Are we expecting to see them, then? Has something been planned?" "Oh, we are sure to see them, Mother. They will come into the shop, or we shall meet somewhere, or perhaps I might..." "Yes?" "Oh, well. But anyway, she is sure to come into the shop, as I have said. Yes, it is all very exciting." Mrs. Odicott looked sideways at her only daughter, a sharp, curious look. "Clearly you have been thinking a good deal about the carpenters," she said. "When I had, I must confess, quite forgotten about them. They do not interest me at all. They can scarcely be called friends of ours. But I see that for you their doings hold a great fascination."
"No, no. But it is something to think of. Something new. An event. We need an event every now and again."
"Do we?" Deirdre Fount was unable to reply. "James must wear his mackintosh to go to his lesson this afternoon," said Mrs. Odicott.
"Yes, I dare say he will remember," said Mrs. Fount, the mother of James. "I have left him a note."
A gust of wind rippled the hems of their coats and seemed to steer them like boats, gently towards the corner, where they would turn away from the esplanade and into Norfolk Terrace. They walked in precisely the same way, mother and daughter, with a pinched, corseted movement of the hips. In the past, Deirdre Fount had tried to eradicate the likeness, to move differently. It was enough to look into the mirror and see her own face settling more and more into the likeness of her mother's. But now she had resigned herself to the walk, as to many other things. And today it did not matter. For today she could think about the homecoming of Major and Mrs. Bertram Carpenter. "We are late," said Mrs. Winifred Odicott. Her daughter began to walk a little more quickly. From her balcony flat and her wheelchair, the rich Miss Prug watched them go down the esplanade and around the corner. "They are late," she said. "Mrs. Fount and Mrs. Odicott, it is 9:15 already."
"Already?"
said Mrs. Christie, her companion, entering with the breakfast trolley and the Pekingese dog. From St. Thomas's Church Tower, the clock began to chime. "And how like her mother that girl is growing. They could be taken for sisters. Ah, I see that I have a letter from the nuns. She's only 39. Deirdre Fount, 39 years old, yes. It is hard to believe and sad to see. Well, she has the young boy." Miss Prug raised her eyebrows, buttered a triangle of toast. "No," she said. "You are quite wrong. She does not have the boy. Then she has only herself to blame. There was a choice to be made, and she made it. This is the life she has preferred. She is a fully grown and responsible woman." "I think," said Miss Violet Prug, slitting open her letter, "I think that there is more to it than that.